Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You are listening to B. Mitch and Finley. I got a different hat today for the haters. Don't want to hear your BS today. You know why? Because football started. Damn it. Playing football. It's raining a little. It's exactly how things are meant to be out here, man. I am live in Ashburn. Commanders, day one of training camp. Lamphill and Jeff holding it down in the studio. We determined that yesterday was day zero. You know how college football does week zero? Yesterday was day zero of training camp because they all had to show up and a couple guys talked, but nobody was on the field. Today, people were on the field, and look, man, I've been doing this a long time. I recognize it's July 24th and that what happens on July 24th has very, very little bearing on what happens September 8th and then October 8th and November 8th and December 8th and January 8th and hell, maybe February 8th. I'm entirely aware of all that. But you got to be encouraged, and we're starting. We're not starting with the quarterback, not starting with Terry McLaurin, who's set to speak here in probably the next half hour, and we will take that live right here on B. Mitch and Finley. We're starting with actual news, okay? We have actual news, and it's good news. How about that? Give me an air horn, Lamphill. Air horn to come. There was a lot of talk when the Commanders drafted Johnny Newton, the D-tackle out of Illinois, in the second round, early in the second round. It was like, yo, we never thought we'd get him here. This dude's tape is explosive. What he was able to do at Illinois was really explosive. I believe he was Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And think about all the big names in the Big Ten, and I believe Newton won that thing. But he slid in the draft because there was an injury. Yeah, he was an All-American Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. In the last 2 years, he had 22.5 sacks. I'm sorry, 22.5 TFLs and 13 sacks from the interior position. Keep that in mind, folks. Johnny Newton, Commanders were able to get him early second round, but wait, he has a foot injury. Okay, well, he played through it at Illinois. No big deal. He was able to gut it out then. He'll be able to gut it out now. But wait, we get to rookie minicamp, and he's got a boot on his foot, but it's the other foot, not the one we knew about, but the other foot. And at this point, we're alarmed, right? I'd say fairly alarmed. The Commanders staff, coaches, front office say, hey, no big deal. We knew about this. It's a minor procedure. We'll get it done. Now, they were very clear that they did not set a specific timeline for Newton, which I think is pretty advantageous to do. But they also remained very optimistic. They said, we really don't view this thing as something that's going to cause trouble. We think he's good for the regular season. They didn't say anything about camp. They did put Newton on the NFI list. And before people get overly concerned about NFI, it just means that you got injured in a capacity that wasn't involved with NFL football, right? So sometimes that means you got in a scuba diving accident and a shark bit your arm. But sometimes that just means the kid got hurt playing college football. He's not all the way ready yet, right? It's a very broad designation. So fast forward. Yesterday, Peters and Quinn are asked about Johnny Newton and his status, and they're both really optimistic. They're like, hey, he's busting his butt. They both said we've had to hold him back from what he wants to do because he just wants to go so fast. And sure enough, we get here this morning. Johnny Newton is on the active roster, off the NFI. And one thing that, like, I know this time of year maybe more people are kind of tuning back in that need a little bit of reminder on some of this roster stuff. When you put a player on your active, you have a lot less options. Like, they could have kept him on NFI or tried to move something to PUP and just given themselves options. He's on the active. Like, the only room now is IR. And there's short-term IRs. It's not like what it used to be. But they clearly believe he's good to go. And Brian and I did our Commanders roster review yesterday on the defensive line. And we kind of said, like, all right, you know, if Johnny Newton's right, we know they've got John Allen. We know they've got Deron Payne. If you're able to add Johnny Newton, then all of a sudden a guy like John Ridgeway could just be a situational pass rusher for you, which he's quite good at. And then your depth keeps going down the line. All of a sudden, that D-line really starts to look like something. Then you combine that with the ability, at least we've seen from Dan Quinn's staff in Dallas, where they use their best pieces, and they figure out how to get their best players on the field kind of regardless of position, and they're not as dogmatic or strict about, no, this dude is a D-tackle, and we can't put him on the end, or this guy's an end, and we can't move him inside, or this guy's a linebacker, so he can't be on the line. They're going to move guys around, and it's a big opportunity. And I think by far the biggest factor, my biggest takeaway from the Newton stuff, my biggest factor from the Newton stuff is go back in time to the last coach front office situation. Whenever there was an injury conversation, it was kind of a disaster. And nothing bigger than the Curtis Samuel when he was signed and he's on the side field and we can't get any information. And there was like this not only reluctance to provide injury information, but like an outright negative arrogance about it. Like, how dare you expect us to provide information? And I understand pro football and strategic advantages, and if you can maybe keep something a little under wraps, you want to. I understand that. But when a guy starts to miss significant time, you're always better off providing an example, providing the injury. Like, yo, we know this dude's hurt. What is going on? Just tell us. And then don't give a timeline. Say, yeah, we'll see. Because there's no upside in a timeline. Because if a player gets back early, people are going to be like, oh, man, they rushed him back. If a player gets back too late, they'll be like, oh, he's still hurt, or the staff doesn't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? So don't give timelines, but tell people what the injury is and tell people how you feel about it. And certainly, you know what Johnny Newton had to get? Another procedure. You know what they told us? He had the procedure. Like, some of the intense levels of secrecy, particularly in the summer when nobody's got a game coming the following week, don't make sense. They make your life harder. And I am encouraged that the first injury situation we have now dealt with in the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn era pretty much seems like we got told the truth. Tell the truth. It seems like we got told the truth. They never gave a timeline, but they remained optimistic. They said this wasn't that big of a deal. And then they gave a ton of credit to the kid, to Johnny Newton, and he backed it up. He worked his ass off, and he's on the active. He was out there. I watched him. He looks good. I don't know. All in all, a refreshing morning. Let's check in with the boys in the aquarium. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Landini. How we doing?
What's up, JP? I'm good, man.
Yo.
Do you guys agree with me that this Newton situation, you don't want to make too much of it. It's a second-round pick. He's able to start the year on the active roster. Great. But it just, the way it was handled just feels a bit different than other ways things used to get handled?
To me, I think how the administration been moving, if it was going to be a bigger problem than what it seemed, I don't think they would have made the pick with Newton. So I wasn't really worried about it. And, I mean, it's good that he's on an active roster, but I believe we have a nice D-line situation. We don't really need him, like, on the field right now. Like, if he needs the time, I think let's just, you know, take the right amount of time and not rush him back, because we've been seeing in history what happens when we rush people back from injuries. They get hurt again. Yeah.
All right. Jeff is wrong. Landfill, your reaction.
I think if it was the previous regime here, he would have secretly had surgery, and then the head coach would have yelled at you for asking about it.
I think that would have happened. There's a number of things that I want to point out, right? One, I don't think they were that good on the D-line, Jeff. I think they seriously lacked depth. And should you need an example, we can just look at the stats from last year. So I think we convince ourselves things are good because, you know, you got some first-round picks and there's excitement. And certainly running statistics defensively do not completely land on the D-line, but the D-line's a part of them. And they were 27th in yards given up in the run. And they didn't generate enough sacks, didn't generate enough pressures, all those things. So anytime you can add a stud talent to a group, you want to do it. I don't think this is a rushed back situation. And I just can't stress that getting some there are much easier ways to handle than outright secrecy, because outright secrecy creates a vacuum where oftentimes nonsense fills it, and I think they prevented that. But to your perhaps overall point, Jeff, yeah, it doesn't matter if he's ready today or a week from today. I agree with that. I just think this, more than anything, like, we keep telling ourselves the positive situations that are unfolding, but, like, there's not really a lot of examples of it. You know what I mean? It just feels that way. I think this is an actual one. But by far the most important part of it is that the young man is able to work his way back and that the injury is not that severe. I think those boy bar hat that I'm wearing. Oh, God, you're going to say this again. It's a...
A what like bar a, hat?
A what? Are you it's serious?
How is this so hard for you, man?
Yo, know, like, actual, like, dudes riding horses.
See, there's that? No dude on that horse, bro.
Dudes riding horses is the entire concept of the team we hate. There's so many hats out there. I got a Terps hat. I'll give it to you next time I see you.
Dude, I...
So, I'm going to teach... There's young people that we work with, and there's young people... Here at training camp, the idea is when you're a media member, you are not wearing athletic apparel. So when you see me never wearing a Nats hat, nose hat, all the hats I usually wear to the office, that there's a point of that. You're not supposed to have any sort of affiliation, which I don't. This is from a place called Burns in Park City.
Right, that's why you're being subtle about it. You wear a star, but not like a straight-up Cowboy star.
And
today
you wear
a cowboy hat.
Like, what?
But not a Dallas Cowboys hat.
Will not tolerate. What everybody cares about most is undeniable is Jaden Daniels. And I think Daniels looks good, man. It's, you don't want to take anything from it, but they did some red zone work today. I mean, I posted a video where he threw it in the net really well. you don't want to get too excited. But, man, when you watch, there's kind of reasons to get excited. Our guy Barstool Nate is just so ridiculous. So I posted a video of Jaden just nailing it into the net, and Barstool Nate said, B. Mitch was wrong when he compared him to Mahomes. Mahomes could never do this. Nate Dogg had another one. where he quote tweeted the video and said, no other quarterback in the league can make this throw. He's joking, folks. He's joking. But there is a lot of excitement, man, and I think it's warranted. It's the number two overall pick. It's the Heisman Trophy winner. And the most important part of this is he comes in as a passer. Like, they don't, they're not going to have to build some new sort of offense. I think Cliff, considering what he was able to do with Kyler, I really like the marriage of Cliff and Jaden, and I think it could work. Some other cool moments out here from this morning. Peters and Quinn invited everybody's immediate family to come to practice. It's closed to the public, but there's, I don't know, I'd say 50 or so family members that was kind of sitting out there, and it's a lot of kids. And I love whenever the little kids are here. I mean, if you're under seven, you're not going to sit and watch practice. They just play football on the side, and it reminds me of being a kid, and you'd go to practice, and or you'd go to like a Friday Night Lights high school football game, and you'd end up just like playing football with your friends on the side. It's a cool vibe. They have refs here, which it's funny. I was standing there with Chris Russell, and Rooster noticed the same thing I did. Zach Ertz is obviously a multi-year veteran. As he was jogging back from taking a rep, he said hello to this, I guess, female referee. I think her name was Jordan. I thought he said, hi, Jordan. I don't know what. They got refs here on day one of camp. I feel like that's not something I had noticed before. And just, you know, one of these things that things are going to look different. Dan Quinn's different. Adam Peters is different. The organization's different. How about just the fact that, I mean, if you want to talk about the willingness to spend money, we know that Dan Quinn is a guy that would like to go away to training camp. And I've heard whispers they're going to go away next year. I've heard West Virginia, but I don't know that, right? But the last in Ashburn, and everybody just goes home. Well, now we're here in Ashburn, but everybody's staying at the Lansdowne Resort, which, if you've never been over there, is a really pretty spot. It's got two golf courses right on the river. They got this big, like, hotel tower, I guess, is where all the guys are staying. I'm sure there's probably some, like, cottages or villas or something that I'm unaware of. But, like, that ain't cheap. And maybe they're able to work a deal with them, like, if there's some trade involved. Because I know for a long time the Skins and Lansdowne had a deal. I don't know if they still do. But, like, regardless, there's money or business or money or commerce involved. And it's just one more example of putting the team first and wanting to do things the right way. And I think, I don't know. I think there's really encouraging things going on. It's the first day of camp. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Don't want to get out over our skis like the people in the stream with my hat. But I don't know. Between Jaden and Johnny Newton on the active. Now, there is a flip side of that. F.A. Obata's on the PUP. I don't know that we'll get an answer on if this is just because Obata was hurt last year. And I would guess this is a continuation of that. But I don't know. Obata is a versatile piece that's been pretty good. That wears number 30, Landfill. I want you to know that, okay?
Got it. I just think it's disrespectful to the best DC athlete to wear number 30, trunk candidate.
Laron Landry, clearly. Yeah. All right, we got a packed show coming your way, okay? We're going to do a lot. You're going to hear from Terry McLaurin. You're going to hear from John Allen. The news of the day is certainly that Johnny Newton, the second-round pick, is on the active roster. Jaden Daniels looked really good. I posted a bunch of videos if you want to check them out at JP Finley NBCS. We want to talk about Daniels' odds to maybe be Rookie of the Year. I heard, I'm not going to name names, but as I was walking around on the sideline, I heard some incredibly, incredibly optimistic sound on on Jaden. We'll maybe touch on that a little later. Neil Greenberg and David Aldridge are going to join the show. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. We're just getting warmed up live from Ashburn. Day one, we don't want to draw.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Too many conclusions. What kind of stood out for you, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, Jaden looks decisive and quick and looks like what you would expect a number two overall pick to look like. So that was good to see. It was good to see Johnny Newton back on the practice field. And I think just the vibe of camp is nice to see, and it was quick. I mean, they're already done with practice, and it's 10:30, JP. Like, it's definitely a zippy practice.
They do move fast, and they're almost always running, like, simultaneous drills. Whenever it's a drill period, they'll have, like, two versions of it going. But there's also something called the ramp-up period that, like, the NFL, like, the rules stipulate. And so I think with that, they can only go so far. I think these will all be pretty quick, and then I think it'll probably not be till next Monday when we're back out here, when pads are on. That's when it'll get juicy. But that's enough from us. Let's go right now. Terry McLaurin speaking at the podium.
Terry, you mentioned just working on the timing with Jaden. That's supposed to be a process. Today, mm-hmm. You guys were focusing.
Can be difficult for offenses sometimes because you don't have as much room to operate, and the defense has the back end line as another defender versus when you're kind of out by the opposite 40 or you have more field to work with. So the spacing and timing is even more paramount when you're in the red zone. And so that's why you have to really be detail oriented in where your splits are as receivers, tight ends, all skill positions, and the depths of your route. You don't want to be in someone else's space when you're running your route. And so, him and I connected on a hitch route, which could kind of be tough, you know, down in the red zone because, again, they have that backline defender. So some DBs are not even worried about you running that far, or they have enough makeup speed to get there. So my objective in that situation is try to make that DB feel my speed and kind of get a quick release. And I think what he talked about after that was really important, where even if that DB may be playing in your back hip, like, ball placement is very key in those situations. And I think he did a great job. You want to try to leave that ball either low and away or high on my outside shoulder so I can, even if it's a bang-bang play, I have a chance to get it, versus you leave the ball inside, then it could get a little muddy. So he just has a natural feel for that, and you can see it by the way he operates, but also by his actions as well. And you know, it's not always going to be perfect, but just to have that mindset, I'm expecting that now. So when I come out my routes, I have a good idea where he's going to put it.
Terry, some of us have covered this organization for an awfully long time.
Mm-hmm.
You have been through a couple of different administrations.
Yeah.
Yes, Kime, you've been here 40 years. I get it. How different is the feel, not just day one here, but through veteran mini camps? Because we kind of feel like there's a different vibe.
Yeah.
We've said it before, but this is, the word's different, but for you, having experienced it, how different is it?
Definitely. I've experienced a lot in my going on 6 years here, and I could just at least speak to just this year, and I feel like the continuity from the top down is very clear what the objective is, bringing in good people who are really good at their job and are going to be competitors in what they do and bring their best selves to the building each and every day. I think that started from Mr. Harris and the ownership group, and I think that goes down to AP and DQ and our coordinators and the leaders on this team and our position coaches. So when you have that one voice, that one mission, I think it makes it very clear what the expectation is, and there's not a lot of deviation from that, because if you want to be a part of this team and this organization, you have to fit that mold or you probably won't be here. But I think the great thing about it is there's no favoritism. There's no, well, because you did this here or because you know, you did had this season last year. Like, we got guys and coaches from all over the place. But one thing they have is we have a lot of guys with experience, leadership, championship pedigree, and who are competitors who want to come in and make this organization better and win together. And I think you can feel that juice. And then when you have the opportunity just to come out here and compete, that's what you love to do. You don't have to really focus on a lot of the off-field stuff we may have had, but you get to focus on football and how you get better and try to earn your spot on this team. So it's been really fun getting to know the guys. Like I said a few times, like even the first few days in the spring, we really didn't even talk a lot of football. We just got to know each other, which is new, you know what I mean? We've even mixed up the locker room where I'm sitting next to Forbes and some of the linemen, and usually you stay with your position group, but I think it helps just that continuity process a little quicker where you have those moments to spend time with guys you may not spend time with otherwise because they're not in your position room. So I could just tell we have a group of guys that are gelling well and enjoy spending time with one another, and also like to grind. And we set standards before ourselves as a team where that's what you have to hold up to if you want to be a part of this team. And I think that's great because it holds everybody accountable. Then it's on myself and it's on the other guys to hold each other accountable and to that standard. As long as that doesn't deviate, then you have a good chance to have success.
Along those same lines, you guys got together in the offseason or in that off period in Oregon and through with the quarterbacks and receivers. Is that something where you guys are able to get in some real football work, or is that more about continuing that relationship building? And as you get out here to camp, do you feel kind of the cohesiveness from doing that kind of thing?
Yeah, actually, I didn't get the chance to make it out there. I had a family obligation. But, you know, I was in communication with Marcus and everybody who was there, and we got a chance to really connect while we were here. And in the offseason, I've been a part of those throwing sessions. And yeah, it's definitely a part of the timing and the work, but it's more so about hanging out, get to know each other on a different level, and just enjoying your downtime together before we get going for a long season. So I think the great thing about it, when you have situations like that where it's a time to really build with one another but also get to know each other. And I think the great thing about this year is we really did a lot of that in the spring. Like, I got to play a lot of golf with Marcus and Zach Ertz, and you know, inviting guys who have never golfed before, and guys are in there playing ping pong and cornhole. And you know, I sometimes look in the locker room and I'm like, man, like, we've been done for an hour and guys are still in there hanging out, you know what I mean? So I think that continuity really just goes a long way, and it helps with the timing as well. So obviously now that we're here, we'll get plenty of reps and have time to talk about it in the film room, but that off-season time is definitely important as well.
Terry, you spoke about leadership right on the team. It really wasn't that long ago that you were new to the team. What's it like now to fill that role as a leader and know that that's just as important as what you're doing on the field as well in your position?
100%. I think I would like to think I've been blessed with a leadership skill set that sometimes I kind of shied away from when I was a little younger, whether I was in college or even high school, even earlier in my career. I was just always a leader by example, which I think is great. I think, you know, I just wanted to be somebody who was on time, who was accountable, did what I was supposed to do, and you could look at me as an example. Not that I'm perfect, but I just try to do things the right way. I try to be a pro. I try to set a good example for myself and my teammates. And as time has grown and you grow that respect, you have a little success, guys want to hear from you more. And I never wanted to be the type of vocal leader where I was someone who was just like a dictator or tearing guys down or just telling them what to do. But I think it's just more so speaking to the accountability aspect where you see guys maybe necessarily not doing what we set out to do or the standards that we set, you kind of check them on that. But I think that the awareness that we all have is not coming from a place of anger or a place of frustration. It's coming from a place of accountability. And we've all, you know, had a pledge with one another. We're not going to take that personally. And so for myself, I just tried to put myself in a situation where I speak up a little bit more. But even when I don't want to talk so much where it kind of just gets drowned out. I want to be someone where I say something, it's meaningful, it's impactful. And I think I've learned that happy middle. And I think it helps a lot when you have a lot of other leaders around, because I've learned from Zach, I've learned from Bobby Wagner. DQ sets a great example. And so you feel like that the weight of leadership doesn't fall all on you. But at the same time, I know what I bring to the table as a player and a leader, and I just try to set that standard. So, you know, I really try to hold myself to a standard where not perfection, but on and off the field, I'm leading in a way that guys want to follow you. You know what I mean? And it's not just by your play, it's how you communicate with them. I try to get to know the guys on the team, know about their families and things like that. So that's just that personal relationship goes a long way when it comes to leadership, because when you say something, they have more of a respect because they know where you're coming from.
Along the lines of that, as far as newness and energy and leadership, DQ, Adam Peters, everything is new for them. How important is it when they lean on you guys, you and Jonathan, as the veterans have been here, to kind of get together and kind of get on the same page? Well, as you mentioned, though, but not playing favoritism to anybody else.
I think we have just the experience of being in this area. I think we've really helped guys being able to, you know, hey, you need a place to stay. You need a realtor. You need a bodywork person. Just that aspect of it where you're trying to get guys acclimated just to being in a new place. And I think John and I and Payne and a lot of other guys who have been here for a while, Tress and Revo, and we have we've had a lot of experience in this area. And honestly, we've had experience of some good and some bad. And I think the good thing about it is AP and DQ didn't really come in with really focused on what happened last year or the old regime. It was just, how do we move forward? How do we build an identity for this Commanders team? And they really allowed us to take the keys to the car and set standards for ourselves. Like, sure, there's expectations that they expect as a player and as a person, but whether it was through the team building activities that we had or just, you know, writing a pledge as a team and letting the leaders run that. Like, it was literally our words, our sentiments, our accountability, and it's up to us to hold up to that standard. I think it's great that we have a group of guys with a lot of experience like that. And we know that it's going to pay dividends if we continue to hold ourselves accountable in that way. So it's been cool to, you know, have a breath fresher air where, you know, it just feels like a new start for everybody.
Two more. What was the pledge you guys wrote?
You know, I'll probably try to keep most of it within our team, but it was essentially along the lines of just what we're going to commit each and every day when we come out to this football field. Not only what we're going to do on the field, but off the field. How are we going to prepare our bodies? How are we going to prepare our minds? How are we going to hold each other accountable when those things may slip? And I think one of the things that stands out the most is just, like I kind of touched on, is you can't take that personally. I think we're all competing for jobs. We're competing for respect. We're competing for some guy's contract. So everybody has an individual aspect to it. But when you bring the team, you put the team first and you put it in writing, it forces you to be accountable, honestly, because it's like, well, I agree to that. You know, I may assign that, or I was part of putting those words together. So if I'm not out there upholding, whether it's finishing, whether it's taking care of my body, being accountable, like, how can I expect our rookies to? And so I think that puts a good amount of accountability and pressure on our leaders, but also it forces the young guys and the guys who may, you know, be here for a year, whatever. It's just, there's one voice and one sound that the team came up with outside of the expectation of the coaches or the organization, which I think is extremely powerful. I haven't really experienced anything necessarily like that, where the guys have come up with something like that. And it was just really cool to see everybody's ideas and how they view leadership, how they view team building, and what's important to having success. And obviously we know that doesn't mean anything if we don't live up to those standards, which that's part of the pledge, but also, you know, the wins and losses are a big part of that as well. And but I think that's obviously the big picture, the wins and the losses, that's why we're all here, to win. But there's things underneath winning and losing that contribute to winning and losing, if that makes sense. And I feel like there's a very, very clear set of standards that we've put forth.
When the quarterbacks split first team reps, does that affect a receiver's ability to build a rapport?
I don't really think so. And I guess I'm unique in that way because I play with multiple guys. So I've been able to, you know, adapt. And I think it just forces everybody to communicate a little bit more. Marcus may see something different than Jaden, something different than Sam, something different than Jeff. And I think the main aspect is we come out here knowing what we're doing, executing Cliff's offense, executing the depths, executing the timing and the spacing of each concept. And I think as long as guys come out here prepared, studying when we're not in the building and taking notes while we're in the film room, just naturally you're going to have a standard of what it's supposed to look like. But then the nuances of offense and football, like, there's going to be a little difference in what each quarterback does. And I think that's where the communication comes in. But Marcus has been around for a very long time. He's won games. He did great in college. So he just has a natural maturity and feel about football that brings a calm to our offense that I think is extremely needed. And, you know, Jaden, with his just natural ability, and not only that, his work ethic is very strong. And he wants to be great. And not only that, he's very personable, and he wants the guys around him to have fun. So you got a good mix of a quarterback room where there's no ego. You know what I mean? Guys are competing. They want to put their best foot forward, but they're all trying to make plays and do what's best for the team. It's been really fun working with everybody, and I know we're going to continue to build on the things that we've done so far.
Thanks, Terry.
No problem. Appreciate you guys. Good to see you.
There you heard from Terry McLaurin here on B. Mitch and Finley. Still to come, you hear from John Allen as well. Toby Altizer in. You'll hear from plenty more as training camp day one gets underway here. It's B. Mitch and Finley right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys for just a couple of minutes after the first day of practice here at Commanders training camp. And let's get back to the podium and hear from Commanders defensive tackle Jonathan Allen.
I'm here to be honest with you. Didn't really do too much. Just focus on my diet, focus on my training, just trying to lock back in as early as possible. So when training camp started, I could hit the ground running.
What'd you change about your diet and your training?
I hired a chef, so that's probably the biggest thing.
What made you make that decision? What meals was the chef cooking?
I'm just really just trying to go all in, on and off the field. So, you know, I'm spending a lot of money on my body and my health off the field so I can perform even better on the field.
John, over here now, what are some of the differences with this system that maybe can free you up to do some different things?
Man, I really think it's just about the little details. You know, we're really focusing on the small stuff, the get off, the first step, the first 6-inch step, your hands and your pad level, and just really repetition. So it's nothing groundbreaking that we're doing. It's just consistency and a mindset that we're playing with.
And how can that, at this stage of your career too, how can that focus help you?
Man, I think it can help me a lot. When you look at the 49ers and what they were able to do with their defensive line, we're coaching a lot of the same things. So, you know, I'm really excited for what we can do and just excited to be out here.
Obviously, you haven't seen much of Johnny Newton on the field, but he was able to get out there today. Was that surprising to you that he was able to get out as quick as he was?
Not surprising, but excited, you know. Obviously, he's a great player. We got him super high in the draft, and I'm excited to see what he can do out there. So he looked good. You know, they're trying to take it slow with him, obviously. You don't want to throw him out there too soon, but from what I've seen, he looks really well.
What's your sense of how he's going to be able to help complement you and Duron and the other pieces on the line once he's ready to get going?
Man, I don't think it's him complimenting us. I think it's all of us complimenting each other, you know what I mean? I'm trying to help out Klee, Klee's trying to help out Payne, and vice versa. So he's definitely going to fit in really well. He loves to work out. He loves to do the little things right, and he loves to work. And you know, for me, once I see that, that's all I need to see.
How much does this feel to you like the first day of school? Not just the work, but the dynamic with some of the new guys here.
Oh, it definitely feels like the first day of school. The first day of training camp is always exciting and fun to get out here with the guys for the first time. I'm just really trying to go out there and put my best foot forward moving forward. And, you know, we're excited about what the season could be.
You guys have done training camp a bunch of different ways since you've been here, but being in Ashburn, staying in the team hotel, what can you guys get out of that? What are you hoping what do you hope that adds to the team or to training camp?
Whenever you stay at a hotel for training camp, it really helps with team bonding. Guys spending a lot of time in close proximity, you know, because when you're in the NFL, after the season or after the day's done, I got a wife that I got to go to. Other guys have kids that they have to go home to. But when you're in the hotel, you spend a lot more time together off the field than you normally would, and that just helps with bonding.
John, during practice, I saw you numerous times one-on-one with Johnny Newton, just talking to him, going over some things. What is that role like for you now? Because you were Johnny Newton once. You were a rookie. And to have kind of that responsibility of kind of helping him welcome to life in the NFL, what is that like for you?
Man, I'm trying to help him with things that guys like Ziggy Hood helped me with my rookie year, you know. Just trying to be there, trying to be the best teammate I could possibly be to help this team.
Inside the locker room, you're one of the team leaders. Just take me through the vibe. What night and day difference, what is it like? You know what it felt like at the end of last year. Now it's kind of a new start, new era. Give me that vibe. What is it like right now inside that locker room?
A lot of guys with a lot to prove, and I love it.
Anything else?
John, with a guy like Bobby Wagner behind you, what have you learned from him? What's that dynamic like? Two guys who have been in the league for a decent amount and have seen a lot of different stuff.
Man, when you have a guy like Bobby who's one of the hardest workers on the team, it forces everybody else to follow suit. So, man, I'm really excited to play in front of him this year.
John, the pass rush was something that was at times lacking last year. How important is it to restore that, and what are you guys doing to try to regenerate that?
I mean, pass rush is, I mean, the name of the game in today's NFL. But for us, we're just doing the same thing, just coming to work and working on our craft. I mean, there's no secret recipe.
Hey John, I remember just about almost exactly a year ago, you and Terry were out there for the day Josh Harris was introduced. Here we are a year later now. It's Josh Harris, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels is here. How do you feel about where this franchise is, and how much does it excite you, kind of this new regime, this new vision, and all this new stuff here?
I'm excited. I'm really excited to be here, to work here, and just put my best foot forward and getting to work.
Thank you.
Man, again, every year you're in the NFL, you have something to prove. So every single guy in the defensive line has something to prove even before they were here with Coach Quinn. So, I mean, when you have something to prove and you come and play for a coach like Coach Quinn, it just amplifies it.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
Appreciate it.
And welcome back to B. Mitch and Finley. J.P. Finley will be back for Hour 2, which comes up next. Matter of fact,
we back.
J.P. Finley's back. Hour number 2, B. Mitch and Finley comes up next. Man. Welcome back. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys for just a couple of minutes after the first day of practice here at Commanders training camp. And let's get back to the podium and hear from Commanders defensive tackle Jonathan Allen.
I'm here to be honest with you. Didn't really do too much. Just focus on my diet, focus on my training, just trying to lock back in as early as possible so when training camp started, I could hit the ground running.
What'd you change about your diet and your training?
I hired a chef, so that's probably the biggest thing.
What made you make that decision? What meals was the chef cooking?
I mean, I'm just really just trying to go all in, on and off the field. So, you know, I'm spending a lot of money on my body and my health off the field so I can perform even better on the field.
John, over here now, what are some of the differences with this system that maybe can free you up to do some different things?
Man, I really think it's just about the little details. You know, we're really focusing on the small stuff, the get off, the first step, the first 6-inch step, your hands and your pad level, and just really repetition. So it's nothing groundbreaking that we're doing, is just consistency and a mindset that we're playing with.
And how can that, at this stage of your career too, how can that focus help you?
Man, I think it can help me a lot. When you look at the 49ers and what they were able to do with their defensive line, we're coaching a lot of the same things. So, you know, I'm really excited for what we can do and just excited to be out here.
Obviously, you haven't seen much of Johnny Newton on the field, but he was able to get out there today. Was that surprising to you that he was able to get out as quick as he was?
Not surprising, but excited, you know. Obviously, he's a great player. We got him super high in the draft, and I'm excited to see what he can do out there. So he looked good. You know, they're trying to take it slow with him, obviously. You don't want to throw him out there too soon, but from what I've seen, he looks really well.
What's your sense of how he's going to be able to help complement you and Duron and the other pieces on the line once he's ready to get going?
Man, I don't think it's him complimenting us. I think it's all of us complimenting each other. You know what I mean? I'm trying to help out Klee. Klee's trying to help out Payne and vice versa. So he's definitely going to fit in really well. He loves to work out. He loves to do the little things right, and he loves to work. And you know, for me, once I see that, that's all I need to see.
How much does this feel to you like the first day of school? Not just the work, but the dynamic with some of the new guys here.
Oh, it definitely feels like the first day of school. The first day of training camp is always exciting and fun to get out here with the guys for the first time. Yeah, man, I'm just really trying to go out there and put my best foot forward moving forward. And, you know, we're excited about what the season could be.
You guys have done training camp a bunch of different ways since you've been here, but being in Ashburn, staying in the team hotel, what can you guys get out of that? What are you hoping to that you can? What do you hope that adds to the team or to training camp?
Whenever you stay at a hotel for training camp, it really helps with team bonding. Guys spending a lot of time in close proximity, you know, because when you're in the NFL, after the season or after the day's done, I got a wife, that I got to go to. Other guys have kids that they have to go home to. But when you're in the hotel, you spend a lot more time together off the field than you normally would, and that just helps with bonding.
John, during practice, I saw you numerous times one-on-one with Johnny Newton, just talking to him, going over some things. What is that role like for you now? Because you were Johnny Newton once. You were a rookie. And to have kind of that responsibility of kind of helping him welcome to life in the NFL, what is that like for you?
Man, I'm trying to help him with things that guys like Ziggy Hood helped me with my rookie year, you know. Just trying to be there, trying to be the best teammate I could possibly be to help this team.
Inside the locker room, you're one of the team leaders. Just take me through the vibe. What night and day difference, what is it like? You know what it felt like at the end of last year. Now it's kind of a new start, new era. Give me that vibe. What is it like right now inside that locker room?
A lot of guys with a lot to prove, and I love it.
Anything else?
John, with a guy like Bobby Wagner behind you, what have you learned from him? What's that dynamic like? Two guys who have been in the league for a decent amount and have seen a lot of different stuff.
Man, when you have a guy like Bobby who's one of the hardest workers on the team, it forces everybody else to follow suit. So, man, I'm really excited to play in front of him this year.
John, the pass rush was something that was at times lacking last year. How important is it to restore that, and what are you guys doing to try to regenerate that?
I mean, pass rush is, I mean, the name of the game in today's NFL. But for us, we're just doing the same thing, just coming to work and working on our craft. I mean, there's no secret recipe.
John, I remember just about almost exactly a year ago, you and Terry were out there for the day Josh Harris was introduced. Here we are a year later now. It's Josh Harris, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels is here. How do you feel about where this franchise is, and how much does it excite you, kind of this new regime, this new vision, and all this new stuff here?
I'm excited. I'm really excited to be here, to work here, and just put my best foot forward and getting to work.
Thank you.
Man, again, every year you're in the NFL, you have something to prove. So every single guy in the defensive line has something to prove even before they were here with Coach Quinn. So, I mean, when you have something to prove and you come and play for a coach like Coach Quinn, it just amplifies it.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
Appreciate it.
And welcome back to B. Mitch and Finley. J.P. Finley will be back for Hour 2, which comes up next. Matter of fact,
we back.
J.P. Finley's back. Hour number 2, B. Mitch and Finley comes up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.